the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Monday morning podcast with Nick Wright. He'll join us in about 5-6 minutes. I was thinking about this with the Milwaukee Bucks poised to win their first NBA championship since the early 70s. You know, you could argue Giannis is the perfect antidote to this era of NBA egos, analytics, and small ball. LeBron, about the movies, about the brand, about mobility. Giannis is not manipulative. This is why the Milwaukee Bucks are important. We've had a run now of superstars collectively joining already good teams. Milwaukee is saying, no, you can do it this way too. Build through the draft, smartly develop, and then add nice pieces. Jrue Holiday, P.J. Tucker, not dominating players. P.J. Tucker doesn't have to score to be good. The NBA is star-driven, but local television ratings indicate that fans would prefer teams to be built authentically and homegrown. If you look at the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers ratings, yes, the Lakers this year, bottom 10% of the league. The higher ratings are the Warriors. Steph, Draymond Green, they draft James Wiseman. The Utah Jazz, the San Antonio Spurs do very well. Listen, the other thing I like about the Bucks, sports is very simple, actually. Can I make your guys less comfortable? The Milwaukee Bucks have simply made the Phoenix Suns more uncomfortable than the Suns have made the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, we all talk about analytics. The last 2 years, think about this. The Lakers were not a good three-point shooting team. They were big, at times plodding and physical. They won the title. The Milwaukee Bucks, they're not a terrible three-point shooting team, but in a world of three-point shooters, they have one great elite shooter, Chris Middleton. It's Brook Lopez, B.J. Tucker, the inconsistent offensive player, Jrue Holiday. The reality is, whatever you do, do it well. It's like the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's winning percentage is higher than Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady through his first 30 games. What the Ravens do, they do exceedingly well. And that's Milwaukee. We get so caught up on analytics. Yes, when Kevin Durant, Steph, and Klay were together, they were analytically superior and physically superior. But those are three of the top five shooters in the league. Who can duplicate that? Milwaukee can't and has never tried to. Milwaukee is actually, despite not being a boon to the ratings, important to the league. They draft and they develop. Their star stayed. Their star became an MVP. Took them a while, but the minute we dismiss them, they're on the cusp of winning a championship. They add nice veteran pieces, the kind of pieces any market could add. Utah could add a P.J. Tucker. Portland could add a Jrue Holiday. Memphis could add either. So I think it's important to note, in the moment, maybe the ratings don't indicate this is great for the league. But if you really deep dive on what local fans want from their pro basketball franchise, they like watching them in college, drafting them, developing them, and then adding occasional pieces. They feel more emotionally close to their team. It's nothing against Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, but it's more of a remote experience. It doesn't feel like they're your players. They're rentals. Kawhi Leonard in Toronto is a one-year rental. So I think there's value in what Milwaukee is doing. Big picture, they did it contrarian to the current hot league model. And again, I tell my kids this all the time. I don't care what you major at in college. Just whatever you do, do well. You'll be fine in life. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher, a dentist. I don't care. A coder, an engineer, major in sociology. Just be great at it. It's a good life. That's what the Bucks do. Think about the last 3 years in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard won a championship in Canada. He's a great mid-range shooter. Last year, the Lakers, Not a great three-point shooting team, won the championship. This year, Bucks, one elite shooter. It's one thing if you have great shooters, but don't try to manufacture something you don't have. Milwaukee just leaned in to what they are. I like analytics, but I often call them manalytics. Milwaukee made every team they played by the end of the series more uncomfortable than the rival team made the Bucks. They deserve to be champions. All right, I bring in my buddy Nick Wright, who has to be feeling very, very good about himself. So here's what's funny, Nick. So before the playoffs started, I picked all the teams.
Yep.
And I picked Milwaukee to win.
Yep.
Now, what's funny is I picked them for two reasons. I said, one, the pressure's off. We have dismissed them. And I did feel that they caved in the last couple of years to pressure. They felt like they had to win. Secondly, I said most of their players, if you look at their history, do not get hurt. This is a condensed season. Injuries have been a problem. So I'd like to sound like a genius today, but I picked Phoenix to win the finals. But it is interesting, if you look at Milwaukee and Phoenix through the playoffs, they've both done the same thing. Phoenix starts every series quickly. They play a very high tempo. It is a very dynamic up-tempo game. It catches teams off guard. It takes teams one or two games to kind of get up to their speed.
That's right.
They're light. They're fast. A lot of good ball handlers. Milwaukee's the opposite. Milwaukee starts a series slow. They feel you out. But over the course of time, they have so many big physical bodies, they just wear you down. And through two games, I liked Phoenix. Through four games, I slightly liked Phoenix. After watching game five, Phoenix looked small and utterly exhausted. And I think Drew Holiday, and you've touched on this, I think Drew Holiday has honestly, maybe more than Giannis, been the key to the series.
Well, they're unbeatable when he plays well, because Giannis, they're 7-1 in the playoffs when he goes for 20-plus. I think they're 8-6 when he doesn't. He's going to give you the great defense every night, and he is their third guy. And when you have a Giannis, who's going to leave these playoffs, whether people want to admit it or not, he's going to leave these playoffs best player in the league. He will have earned it. If at 24 years old, you're league MVP, at 25 years old, you're league MVP and defensive player of the year, and at 26 years old, you're finals MVP, you get to be the best player in the league.
Right.
Like, I'm a LeBron guy. I know there's Durant people. He gets to be the best player in the league. So when you have that guy and Middleton, who more often than not is very solid, if your third guy plays well, you're going to be very hard to beat. So game five was an unbelievable game, and I know we'll talk about the end of it at some point. But to your point about Phoenix and how they start series, it's exactly right. And what's also right is folks in our business have to remember that these are not – we treat sometimes the NBA playoffs like they're single elimination. After Phoenix went up 1-0, the series was over. And after they went up 2-0, Colin, there was truly talk of, is this the beginning of a dynasty? A dynasty? They might not win another finals game for 7 years. And so I am – like everyone – what Milwaukee always had going for itself was everyone in the series knew Milwaukee as the best player. And sometimes basketball is complicated and sometimes it's simple. And it is pretty simple historically in that if in the NBA Finals, one team clearly has the best player, it is very hard to beat that team unless A, that best player doesn't show up, LeBron 2011, or B, that other team has the second, third, fourth, and fifth best players. Like, you know what I mean? That they are just an overwhelming collection of talent. And that's not the case in this series. And I think Milwaukee is playing with massive confidence. And I do think your point that small finesse teams are more likely to get worn down the longer a series goes on.
Well, I mean, go back to college basketball. Gonzaga was largely an offensive-minded finesse team. And that got them through the tournament. And then they played UCLA, a little more physical, and they barely get by him. Then they play Baylor, who's uber physical, and they got pushed around.
A lot of them.
And when I watched Giannis, I talked to Eddie Johnson, who played in the NBA forever.
He's a great guy.
And I asked him a couple days ago, I said, what will you guys draft in the upcoming draft? And he didn't pause. He goes, size. He goes, we're small. Yeah. Giannis, and this is just 5 and 6 years of a weight room. This is 5 and 6 years of NBA nutrition. He has pushed DeAndre Ayton around the floor. He is so, I don't think fans understand this. When Giannis spins and leans 6 feet into the basket, DeAndre Ayton is powerless. Forget the other guys on the floor. Nobody else is even close. Mikal Bridges, it looks like his valet. And I just think when I watched Giannis, and this is why generally men beat younger men in the playoffs, outside of Jay Crowder, they don't have a bully body on that roster. Phoenix is tiny.
They're tiny. They don't like to get fouled. They don't shoot free throws. They don't go to the rim. They are a finesse jump shooting team that is relying on a third-year player in Ayton to play all of their center minutes because they don't have a – and I know Sarge got hurt. It's not like Sarge is a huge difference maker. They don't have backup center. So, yeah, of course, they have to go get a center. Like, as much of a goofball as he can be at times, you know who would have been super valuable for this Suns team? Dwight Howard. Like, Dwight Howard, his role for Philly, his role for L.A. last year, give us 12 minutes of toughness, rebounding, energy off the bench. And Milwaukee in Game 5 played a lineup they've never played before. It was Brook Lopez, who's 7 feet tall, Bobby Portis, who's 6'9 plus, Giannis, who's close to a 7-footer, Middleton, and P.J. Tucker. Tucker, you don't have a guard on the lineup except for Middleton. And by the way, Milwaukee doubled down on toughness by going and getting P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker doesn't really have a tangible basketball skill. You watch him. He goes up for a layup. Giannis knows it's going to miss. He goes and dunks it. Like, so there's like, no, we are going to try to be tougher than you, stronger than you, more physical than you. And mentally wise, Colin, I think that Brooklyn series was the best thing that could have ever happened to them. To be on the brink that many times and get through it. I just think you're never going to be – you think they're going to be rattled being down 2-0 to Phoenix when they were down 2-0 and 3-2 and Game 7 on the road to Brooklyn?
Well, think about this, Nick. Go back to last year. Phoenix is a little like Miami. We're shocked you're here. Young guys with one veteran of note, Jimmy Butler. They get up against the Laker team that has AD, LeBron, JaVale, and Howard. And KCP's a big guard.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it again. The longer that series went, the smaller Miami looked. Now, I think Phoenix is better than Miami. I think Phoenix next year is a very competitive top six team. But, you know, we always talk about analytics, Nick. And I talked about this when I did my rant to open it. What you have to do in this league, in every league, is do what you do well. People knock Lamar Jackson. And my takeaway always defending him is he's got a better winning percentage than Brady and Aaron Rodgers through his first 32 starts. Why? He does what he does well. He's not flawless. We never ask Brady to be flawless. We never ask Aaron Rodgers to be flawless. But Lamar has to be flawless. Milwaukee has one pure shooter. But to your point, what they do well, Nick, I was watching them Saturday night, and I'm like, God, if this was a tug of war, this is one of the biggest basketball teams I can remember.
And here's the other thing. And this goes to, I think, your analytics point from the opening rant. Folks need to acknowledge that there are two types of basketball in the NBA, regular season basketball and playoff basketball. And if people acknowledge that out loud, but not always in practice. And by that, I mean, we all know the game is officiated differently. We all know your rotation shrank to really you're only playing seven guys. We all know the game slows down. We all know individual possessions take on so much more value. So in that case, then what works and what makes you a great regular season team will not necessarily make you a great postseason team. And it's why one of the reasons that, and this is no shade to Nate, the Nate Silvers of the world who have built these algorithms to predict the NBA playoffs, they've always been not only been wrong, they've been like the people who have made them have come out and been like, yeah, we know it looks ridiculous that we are saying that Milwaukee 2 years ago, for instance, is 65% to win the championship when KD was still on the Warriors. It was like, well, because that team was such a regular season juggernaut. They hit a million threes. They had great defense. But if you watch them, you're like, man, but in close games late, they didn't have it figured out yet. And by the way, Colin, they still don't have it. That the crazy thing about Milwaukee is their half-court offense still kind of sucks. Like, it's, if Chris Middleton isn't hitting insane jump shots, their half-court offense is not very good.
It's and they don't hit their free throws.
They don't hit their free throws, and they don't have half-court offense. And, you know, it's so funny. The free throw thing's funny. I'm going to talk about this on TV this week. No one will remember this but me. The first NBA game of the year that was on national TV was Celtics-Bucks. And Jason Tatum banked in a three to put the Celtics up two with a second left. And then Giannis got fouled, goes to the line, makes the first, misses the second. Bucks lose because he missed the free throws. And I went on TV the next day, and everyone's killing Giannis. I was like, this is my most controversial take. I think free throws are way overrated. I was like, announcers love killing guys for missing free throws because it's the one basketball skill play-by-play announcers have. But I was like, I've watched all the finals. Tell me the massive NBA finals game aside from Nick Anderson missing four straight against Houston and Akeem that was decided by free throws.
Think about this. Duncan struggled at the line for most of the Spurs dynasty. Shaq struggled at the line for the Laker dynasty. And LeBron and Giannis.
And Giannis. So again, tell me, I watched all the Duncan games, all the Shaq games, all LeBron games. I can't think of one finals game. It's like, man, blew it at the line. So if there was ever going to be a time, it could have been yesterday, right? Giannis misses three in a row, or it could have been game five. Giannis misses three in a row. The door's open for Phoenix. And then on his missed free throw, he gets the offensive rebound, and they end up getting the extra possession after the dunk. So, like, the you have Phoenix, maybe the best free throw shooting team in NBA history against Milwaukee, an objectively bad free throw shooting team, and it doesn't matter. They're going to win the title.
NBA Finals are finally here. FanDuel Sportsbook has a championship offer you don't want to miss. During the finals, new users, believe it or not, get 30-1 odds on either the Suns or the Bucks to win the next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook. Okay, with FanDuel Sportsbook, there are more ways to win. And when you do win, you get your money, it's a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. All you have to do is sign up the promo code's Colin to bet the NBA Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, promo code Colin unlocks 30-1 odds on either team to win their next game. I'll take Bucks Game 6. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's great. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, or New Jersey. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. And 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey. I said this in my preamble that I hold no animosity or ill will to the Kevin Durants and the LeBrons who are mobile, exceedingly mobile. And LeBron has moved into what I would call the mogul stage. Michael Jordan did it by going to the Wizards, where basketball really was about 50% of the, you know, the deal.
Of course.
And when LeBron came to Los Angeles, it was about the fourth best roster of the four teams he could have chosen. That's okay. I mean, he deserves credit for building it, and they reshuffled the deck several times. But I do think that turns off a lot of fans. And if you look at television ratings locally, Brooklyn and the Lakers have not done well by seizing stars. Utah, Golden State, San Antonio, Milwaukee have. And I think it's interesting that Giannis is now becoming the face of the league. humility, a big component. Player development, patience, loyalty is a big component. I thought his quote this weekend about anything you look at previously is ego, anything you look ahead at is pride. And you have to live in the moment. That's egoless, prideless basketball, just committing to the game and your teammates. And it is an interesting juxtaposition of LeBron. He's got Space Jam and the brand and the Lakers. That's one way to be popular. I think the league, I think it needs a dose of Giannis. I think there's a humility that's very attractive.
Oh, I think there's no question about it. I also think that it works well as like a dichotomy or a juxtaposition. You know what I mean? The you want kind of a little bit of everything, but the league had none of Giannis. And by that, I mean homegrown guy who stays in the small market, who was not anything close, some guaranteed superstar. He was the 15th pick of his draft. That guy becoming this in Milwaukee and staying in Milwaukee, it's not only great storytelling, it also is critical for right now. You know who loves this? New Orleans. Because they're the New Orleans fans. They're like, maybe Zion stays. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe Zion, that he doesn't have to leave. Giannis could win in Milwaukee. Maybe he'll win here. Now, I'm not saying he will. I think more guys, more often than not, guys will leave. But it is, that's what one of the things that about with the, listen, the final play of the game last night was so insane, that basketball-wise, the Booker getting ripped when he could have hit the game winner, Drew having the guts to throw the lob, Giannis completing it with Chris Paul shoving him in the chest, all of it. Basketball-wise, it was magnificent. But also narrative-wise, the Bucks, in order to keep Giannis, overpaid for Drew Holiday by trading 5 first-round picks for him, then instantly gave him a max contract in order to, again, make Giannis know we are all in on this. Giannis rewards them. He re-signs the max. He stays totally level. And then in the biggest possession the franchise has had in 50 years, Drew trusts Giannis. I'm just going to throw it up to you and have you go dunk and ascend, not ice the finals, but come close to it. The fact that it was Drew to Giannis, when there are a lot of franchises, I think, that would have said, because remember, they traded for Drew before Giannis committed. So they trade 5 future first-round picks away with the possibility that Giannis walks. They're terrible. And now what are you? You're nothing, and you have no draft picks. They went all in on it. And you compare that, who's the star that left home? LeBron, obviously, but left small market. Durant in OKC. What did Durant do? What did OKC do after they got close? Did they go all in? No. They went the other way. They traded James Harden away. You know what I mean? They didn't add, they subtracted. And so even if you didn't like KD going to Golden State, how could you blame him for leaving? Milwaukee went all in, and they got reward. They're getting rewarded for it. I think it's great. I think it's great for the league.
Yeah, but they, you know, let's be honest. There was a time there, the Jason Kidd thing. You know, Milwaukee on multiple occasions could have blown this thing up. But I do think this, and I've said this before, Nick, is that the more money you make in life, the more you waste. You order DoorDash more. You go on more vacations. You buy a jacket and you don't wear it much. Is that when in baseball, the Yankees, I mean, went and got Giancarlo Stanton. They had Aaron Judge. I mean, that's a move that a more prudent team with limitations fiscally would not have made. And Milwaukee could have blown this thing up. I mean, there was a time when a lot of people thought it's not working. I was one of them. Like, I'm over it. It's not working. But I think sometimes in life, when you're forced to watch your pennies, when you're forced to be patient, that's the advantage of the smaller markets in sports. Like, don't you think I don't think it's a coincidence the Tampa Bay Rays keep finding all these star players at 19
right,
years old.
They have no choice.
So scouting is everything for them. And right. and you're not, it's not that I think the Yankee scouts don't matter as much, but like the LA Rams, they go big game hunting. They trade yep. their draft picks. You don't think scouts are thinking, what am I doing this work for? So I do think Milwaukee, I think part of their DNA being in Milwaukee is this has to work. We're not going to find yeah. another Giannis.
Well, yes, but it that is all correct. What's and this is what's amazing about sports and simultaneously ridiculous about sports. It's all true. But it's a massive failure and everyone's fired if Durant's 1 inch further back. Right? If Durant's 1 inch further back, Bud is fired. Drew Holiday all in was a lost hand. Giannis is not leaving because he's re-signed, but there's you go into next year and you're like, okay, Milwaukee, we know what you are. You're fraud. You know, you'll be good in the regular season. Giannis can't that close to it all being considered okay. You guys went all in and you got bounced in the second round again. And then, so that's just happenstance. And then after they get through that, what do you think? Giannis is one of 10 human beings in the world whose knee does not tear all its ligaments on that fall from 2 weeks ago. Like if they got through all that and they were on the precipice of this year being a massive what if, and Giannis being out all of next season. Instead, they're going to win the title. Like, it's so insane how close, how many different forks in the roads this could have gone down.
Think about how great of a coach Andy Reid is, how gifted Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Kansas City. They've been in two Super Bowls. One, they trailed in the fourth, and the other, they by a lot. And then and they could be 0-2. Sports is more arbitrary than we think. There are the occasional teams. Shaq and Kobe, two of those championships, they were significantly better than the league. In fact, I covered the Portland Lakers series. Portland was the second best team and had a really interesting Rasheed Wallace matchup that Lakers really struggled with. But they were better. The Kevin Durant Warriors team, the first one, was significantly better than the league. The league had to play catch up. But if you go back and look at the Patriots dynasty, they've never scored a touchdown in the first quarter of any of these games. They don't have the ability, the Tyson ability to knock you out in the first round. It's more Larry Holmes. They jab, they feel, they jab, they find their spots. They've trailed in many of them late, Seattle, Atlanta. And that's the longest dynasty in NFL history. All of their games have been decided by a field goal except the Rams Super Bowl.
Right. It's incredibly rare. Especially in the NBA, that you go through a season and you're like, oh, yeah, there was no chance someone else was winning. You said two of the three Shaq Kobe years. I would argue really only one of the three. The year they went 15-1 in the playoffs, because the first championship, Portland took them 7 and was up 15 in the fourth. Remember that was they. And then the third championship, Sacramento took them 7. And it went to overtime in game 7. Page you airballed a chance to win the whole thing. That was the one. That was the series. Sacramento could have gone up 3-1. The Robert Horry tip, the tip out from Robert Horry that ended up, you know, saving that game. So those, you mentioned how dominant KD, Steph, those Warriors were. Their second title, they're down 3-2 to Houston, and yeah. Chris Paul gets hurt. So it is rare that somebody just rampages through everything. Which is why, and this is about, you know, Brady or LeBron, the true greats. It's why the best way to ensure you win a lot is just keep getting there. Because sometimes bad luck's going to happen. You know what I mean? Sometimes things are going to go against you. But like this year, could the Lakers have won the title if no one got hurt? Yeah, maybe. Like, but people got hurt. But you got to keep getting there. Brady got unlucky the helmet catch year. I think he got unlucky a little bit the other Giants Super Bowl year. Got crazy lucky
against Atlanta.
Seattle Super Bowl and Atlanta. Atlanta just take damn knees and you win that one. So like, so it's like, okay, we're 2 for 2 in the luck category. And so on as far as in the Super Bowl. And so it's wild to me when I think about Milwaukee, how many times they looked dead, and now they're in this position, And I do. You mentioned Giannis's quote about ego and pride. And dude's 26 years old. And by the way, no formal education, right? Like, he's just learning on the fly. I mean, he didn't go to college, obviously. He came to the States playing basketball. He's just learning by living. He also had the, if you remember, before the playoffs started, he was asked, Giannis, how can you, you know, guarantee that this year won't end the way last year and the year before did? And he just said, he almost looked incredulous. He goes, oh, I can't. I don't know how it's going to end. Like, I don't know. I just try not to get too high, not to get too low. This year, stay in the moment. He has seemed to become so wise beyond his years and so legitimately almost no ulterior motives, like truly earnest in the moment. And I think it's helped him. I think it's helped him tremendously as he's been seeing Durant go for 50 and deal with this and almost get hurt and all of it. And I think it's one of the reasons they're in this position.
Well, and it's interesting you talk about Giannis's background. I think you find a lot of players that come into the States from overseas. There's a gratefulness and a humility that they feel like, hey, initially I'm a visitor to this league. They tend to be a bit more loyal. And that's not to say NBA domestic players aren't grateful. But there is a certain spirit, in my opinion, a certain spirit about Giannis, that he's incredibly grateful and humble for this incredible life-altering opportunity. And it's not – Dirk Nowitzki shared many of these same qualities, that it's an almost egoless basketball.
And by the way, I don't think it's just – I know people bring up, and as you mentioned, you know, like the international versus domestic. But, you know, so Luke is an international guy. He has all the ego in the world.
That's right.
And is kind of a jerk. But why? Well, part of it's probably just who he is. But it's also, he was a superstar at 16. You and I have talked about this. The child star thing, no human being is built to deal with it. It almost always goes poorly, at least for a time. And you got to, Giannis's story is so unique because he was this gawky, you could see some tools, but again, I mean, I'm going to pull it up now because I find it so, I don't think I've done this with you, and I find it so wild in retrospect. It was that his draft, I understand that he was, you know, not considered to ever to go number one overall, but it just gives you a context of how much of a project he was. So his draft was the Anthony Bennett draft, meaning there was no surefire or anything. The Philadelphia 76ers were intentionally trying to lose games and take long-term projects. In that draft, they took Michael Carter-Williams and Nerlens Noel instead of Giannis, both ahead of them. The Celtics, with all those picks from Brooklyn, were just trying to take long-term projects. They took Kelly Olynyk instead of Giannis. The Pistons were in a rebuild. They took KCP. The Kings were in a rebuild. They took Ben McLemore. The Bobcats at the time were in a permanent rebuild. They took Cody Zeller. All of these teams passed on Giannis because it's like, okay, yeah, maybe he'll be good, but he's so thin and he's so raw and he's played against no one. He was not supposed to be a star. So he comes to the league, then he grows 3 inches. And the body stuff that you mentioned is real. He could be, he was as skinny as Durant when he came into the league.
Oh, God, yes.
And I, listen, Durant's one of the 15 greatest players ever. I'm not taking shots at him. But if that body was available to Giannis, it's available to anybody. Because, like Durant made the choice, I'm going to stay thin. Giannis said, nope, I'm not going to be able to shoot like that guy. So I need to just put on all the muscle. And it's one of the reasons I get frustrated because, all right, I know I'm bouncing around, but I think you'll find this fascinating, Colin. A Giannis fan tweeted this, and I think it's a really interesting point. When Dame or Steph or Durant or LeBron go off for these, or Booker for monster nights, you know who chimes in on Twitter? Other NBA stars. Nobody None of his colleagues say a mumbling word on Twitter about Giannis. And I think there is an element of, remember when James Harden was like, yeah, I wish I was big and tall and could just dunk. I think there is a lack of respect for him amongst his peers, which is crazy to me because there's a lot of seven-footers in the league. None of them can do what he does. The idea is like, oh, he's just bigger than everyone. He's not George Mirison. He's a big guy who I think is incredibly skilled. And I think he doesn't have the respect of the rest of the league, or the superstars. I don't think they, because you can't put the ball on his hands and get a bucket immediately. And I think he built this himself. And I think it's one of the reasons he is so, you know, I think legitimately humble about it is I think he's as surprised by this as anybody.
Kids know what they're not. I mean, kids know Giannis knew what he wasn't. And young people, I've got six kids, four step, two biological. They've all known their personalities at five are their personalities. The shy kids, the outgoing kids, the funny kids, the socially awkward kids. We often think we have the answers as adults, but Giannis knew what he was. And he also, to your point, knew what he wasn't. I'm not going to be able to shoot like KD. I'm getting into a weight room because when I watch him in this series, he is so strong.
It's unbelievable.
He is just, I mean, DeAndre Ayton weighs, what, 255 pounds? He is tossing him around the court.
It's unbelievable. And he, by the way, if you look, the block and the dunk on the alley-oop, they're both one-legged jumps off his left leg. That's the leg that buckled. It buckled 2 weeks ago. The sprint down the court, he passes four players. He passes four guys. Yeah. It's like a racehorse down the stretch. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And I also think it's cool that you are seeing there is not just one way. I think there's a point, like there's your point about, you know, LeBron's way and KD's way. There's not just one way also to win a championship. Like, and the other thing that I think is unique about Giannis is he scored those back-to-back 40-point games. And folks were like, oh, Jordan did four. You know, there are a lot. In fact, I would say the majority of the best players in the league would go into that third game saying, oh, I'm getting 40 again. I'm going to through hell or high water. I'm at least going to do everything I can. Giannis played that game like he did not give a damn if he scored 40 or not, because I don't think he did.
He didn't.
And when he's been asked about Middleton being the closer, he has said, no, Chris is great at that, and I'm not. So, yeah, Chris, give it to Chris. I don't care at all. And I actually don't think he cares. And I think that is for the late, great Kobe Bryant, and what was some of his greatest strength was also at times his greatest weakness. He had to be the one who was taking those last shots. Now, he was very good at them, but there were times where he definitely should have deferred, but that's not how he was wired. Giannis, I do not think, cares at all about who gets the credit. I think he just wants to win legitimately.
Yeah, and he seems unaffected with the American criticism and the American media. I think a lot of times domestic players have grown up with your ESPNs and your talk radios and your columnists, and they're affected by it. I mean, Adam Silver says my players are miserable. Giannis appears to be unaffected, and it's not just because Milwaukee's a small media market. He's really very comfortable in the moment in his own space. He's obviously got a very good, you know, family and social circle. He's very comfortable in his own skin, and he's really unaffected by it. I don't even think the counting by the fans in the championship or through the playoffs matters. You know, I don't think he's a great free throw shooter. I don't believe those fans are hindering or helping him. I just think I had a friend who was a great golfer, and he played at UCLA, and he never made the tour. And there was a guy, I won't mention his name. Okay. Bob May. Bob May he made the tour and he won some tournaments. And my friend always said about him, he goes, Bob was just unaffected by noise. Bob just loved golf. That's all he cared about. He was great at it, unaffected. And he goes, I was an overthinker. I mean, I couldn't sleep if I played poorly on the 18th hole. And he goes, it's just my personality. And he said, you know, and my friend was talking about, he goes, a lot of the great golfers have a short memory. They forget a bad shot. And Giannis has a really, this is a real skill. He's unaffected by noise. He's unaffected by pressure. He's unaffected by expectations. It's a real gift. It's a real gift. He just half to half, quarter to quarter, free throw to free throw. It doesn't matter. Now, I love LeBron, but I've seen LeBron have a bad shooting quarter and it affect him for another game.
100%. And like the you see guys, some guys you can see the wheels turning. You can see them thinking. And you can I don't think Giannis misses free throws because he's overthinking it. I think he misses free throws because he's a terrible free throw shooter. Because his form is ridiculous. His whole little process is obviously takes too long. Like, but I don't think it's in his head. I don't think it was in Shaq's head either. I think Shaq was just bad at it. You know, with LeBron, I do think at times it gets in his head. Like I think it's the clearly one time on the court where he's stopping and thinking and going through the whole thing. I also do wonder how much of this, you know, people talked about, and I know Thanasis was out with health and safety protocols for game 5. And when, you know, Thanasis is on the Bucks, Kostas, his younger brother, is on the Lakers, you know, and we were like, oh, the Lakers doing this to, you know, maybe sign Giannis one day, which I'm sure is probably why they were. And the Bucks are doing it as a favor to Giannis, you know, have his older brother on there. I wonder, Colin, how much of Giannis seemingly staying this authentic is because his big brother's there. So if you like, it's just logical that if your big brother, who was selling DVDs on the streets of Greece with you, who has been through the struggle, who has seen you at your lowest points and seen all of this, and who also recognizes what a long shot this all was. And not your little brother, your big brother.
Right.
If he sees you starting to all of a sudden get outside of yourself, I think he has the ability to check him, not just like as a big brother, but they're also teammates. So it's like teammates have the ability to check each other, but this is your brother who's your big brother. So I think I do, whether they were thinking this or not, or whether Giannis needed this or not, I do think it is incredibly valuable to Giannis that Thanasis is there. I think that, you know, and it's interesting because early in these games, I know Giannis has said he has left games 3 and 4 to go to the bathroom. I don't believe that at all. I think he's, I don't want, not a medical diagnosis, but hyperventilating. I think he's breathing too hard. I think he's too amped up. Thanasis is calming Giannis down. Thanasis is like doing breathing stuff with Giannis. I think having him there has been a huge part of Giannis staying this seemingly authentic, because I think otherwise his brother might call him out on it and he knows it.
All right, Nick, before we go, I'll take the Bucks in 6. I think the Suns are worn down. I don't feel they truly believe inside that locker room they can beat Milwaukee's physicality in back-to-back games. I'm going to take the Bucks comfortably in game 6 at Milwaukee. Your thoughts?
Well, my original pick was Bucks in 7, but that was, I said Phoenix would go up 2-0, Milwaukee would tie it 2-2, and then Phoenix would win game 5. I had it going exactly like the Brooklyn series went. But now that Milwaukee won game 5, I don't think Milwaukee's losing. When's the last time Milwaukee, trying to think, they've lost what? One home game this whole playoffs, and it was the Trae Young game. It was when Trae scored 47 in game 1, right after, by the way, Milwaukee had come off the grueling 7-game series. I don't think they're losing at home. And I think this is going to be a Bucks coronation. I think, listen, if Devin Booker went for 40 in back-to-back games, and the Suns lost. Well, you know, game 5, it's Chris Paul goes 20 and 10, Ayton goes 20 and 10, Booker goes for 40, and you lose. I don't know that you can come back from that. I like Milwaukee. I like Milwaukee to cover the 5. I think that this is a game that if Milwaukee gets the type of lead they built in the third quarter of game five, I don't think Phoenix without the home crowd has the energy, to punch back one last time. I think the season ends on Tuesday.
All right, buddy. Great seeing you, my man. Love your work, and you crushed it. We'll talk soon.
You too. We'll talk soon. See you, Colin.
All right. At The Volume Sports. Hope you loved it. At The Volume Sports. Twitter and Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe. That was fun.